carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God, at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and the little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the words of this law. And then in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 4:13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. In his book, Christ-Centered Worship, Brian Chappell says, God now commands the repetition of text of his permanent voice among his people. Reading the Word of God becomes the very core of worship, affording each hearer an opportunity for ongoing personal encounter with the divine. In essence, Scripture is God's voice incarnate for the church in all ages. In reading the Scripture, we remind ourselves that we worship a God who has revealed himself through his word, and specifically revealed how we are to worship him. The reminder serves to refresh us with God's worth and his work in each of our lives. So we read responsively as well. If you're unfamiliar with that term, it's when the leader reads a portion of Scripture and the congregation joins in. Throughout the service today, we'll be doing that several times. I'll display the words up here and on the screen, and the congregational portion will be in red today. Why do we do this? The goal is to have people paying attention to the reading. It's easy to fade out, right? So when you do responsive reading, that requires you to do your part of the work, right? So you're paying attention, and you're reading, and you're thinking about the Scripture that we're reading. When people know that they're going to have to read, they're going to pay more attention, right? In one sense, then it's practical for keeping your attention, but also it's a teaching thing. It's also a terrific witness. We gather on Sunday mornings and have a room full of people saying what they believe, worship, and striving to honor God. And if you do not read Scripture out loud, it sounds a little different when it's coming in your voice. I know we're used to reading our Bible each morning, and we're used to doing that. But have you ever tried reading it out loud? It sounds a little different when it's in your voice. So, reading Scripture is not only biblically commanded, it's also historical, it's practical, and it's helpful. This morning, I would like you at the end to leave with some passage of Scripture that's maybe stuck in your head that from its reading this morning that shines a light in a new way on a passage of Scripture, or maybe a passage of Scripture you haven't read in a while, or something new. Many of you this week shared passages of Scripture that had some kind of meaning to you. Maybe it was a favorite verse, maybe it was a verse that during a certain time in your life meant something to you. Some of you included testimonies to go along with what you shared. And I appreciated hearing those and reading those this week. And I appreciate hearing what God's Word means to each of you. I didn't have the opportunity to reach out to everyone to confirm what was sent or their permission to share, but I wanted to share this morning from God's Word from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, because all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That being said, this morning is less about what I've written to share this morning, and more about what God has imparted to us, which is a gift of His holy words. That's the way we grow to understand Him, and through understanding Him, we understand ourselves better as well. As we read this morning, may God bless the reading of His Word. So last week when I asked for suggestions of the verse to include, I realized that I didn't really have a clear idea of what I was going to get. I had no idea if I was going to get any suggestions of verses, and then I might have to go to plan B. And I wasn't sure exactly of what it was that I was going to use to tie it all together. But as I began collecting verses, I realized that there was a melody line beneath all of the verses, and that was of what we're going to be celebrating this week, one of Thanksgiving. So even though many of the passages that are read today may seem unconnected, the underlying melody of the scriptures that were shared are different things to thank God about and to think about this week. So what better way than to go through the Bible than to start at the beginning? For the song that God wrote throughout the entire Bible is a song that runs from Genesis to Revelation, and it's a song of love from the Father. So please join me as we start this morning in a responsive reading from Genesis 1, 26 through chapter 2, verse 3. I'll read the blue, and you as the congregation will read the red. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth."
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So this morning, as we gather, we celebrate Thanksgiving of God's creation of mankind, his purpose that he established for us. We celebrate and we thank him for the day of rest that he established and commanded us to follow his example of. The Psalms are full of ways to praise God, calling out to him, receiving strength and encouragement from he who is worthy to be praised. I don't have the passage as part of the PowerPoint, but yesterday I asked Josh if he had a verse to share and if Little had a verse to share. The story Josh told me this morning was that Little started naming things that he thinks about God that are good. He didn't have a specific verse in mind or, you know, a reference necessarily, but Josh went ahead and Googled it, and it's kind of neat that if you Google things about what you think about God and what, how he is good to you, guess what? There are verses for that. So Psalm 63, 1 through 5 says, "You are my God. Earnestly I seek for you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you." Goldie this week sent me a verse from Psalm 19:14 there, and she just said, this is one that she uses a lot. It says, "May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And I think that's a good daily reminder that our words and our thoughts should be pleasing to God. As we talked about last week, as we talked about being a living sacrifice, may our daily words and our thoughts be pleasing in his sight. Diane shared this week, thinking about the descriptive name of God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And she selected these verses, Psalm 121, 1 and 2. I lift up my heels. Oop, I have it out of order. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There's so much strength to be drawn and praise to be given to God. As we think of the week ahead, and we think of Thanksgiving in particular, please join in a responsive reading of Psalms of Thanksgiving. I will give to the Lord the thanks due his righteousness. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. I will praise the name of God with a song. And perhaps the most well-known of a psalm of thanksgiving, Psalm 100. A psalm for giving thanks. Make joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. This morning, we are praising and thanking God for who he is and what he has done in Psalms of Thanksgiving. Proverbs is another book where several verses were shared from. Proverbs gives us spiritual guidance and practical wisdom for daily living. Just a few scriptures that were shared. Josh offered this morning, yesterday he sent this to me, something that he said he appreciates this a lot. He uses it a lot. So Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's easy for us to do, right? Lean on our own understanding. Other Proverbs. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 16:23, the hearts of the wise make their mouth prudent, and their lips promote instructions. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. I like the way the Proverbs says it pretty bluntly sometimes. But not only does Proverbs offer spiritual guidance to us and spiritual wisdom, and also practical living, daily living and family life as well. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go. Even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Proverbs 17:1 says, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Proverbs 21:9 says, better to live on a quarter of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. And Proverbs 19:14, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. The theme of the book of Proverbs is for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. Please join me for the next responsive reading, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 27. Listen, my son, accept what I say.
And the years of your life
will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths.
When you walk, your steps will not be near, and when you ride, you will not stumble.
Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go.
Guard it well, for it
Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evildoers.
Avoid it, do not travel in it, turn from it, and go away.
For they cannot rest until they do evil. They're robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. The path of righteous is like the morning sun, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Keep your mouth free of perversity, let your eyes look straight ahead. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet. Do not turn to the right or the left. From Proverbs this morning, in the verses that are shared, we're thanking God for the wisdom that He gives us to follow Him and practical wisdom for everyday life. Julia shared with me this week a verse from Song of Solomon. And she says this was her and Alex's wedding verse. And as she chose it, the pastor was surprised because it's not a standard wedding verse. But she thinks it's the best verse for her relationship with her and Alex. Song of Solomon 8, 6, and 7. Set me as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy is fierce as the grave. Its flashes are of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. The words of the book of Song of Solomon are good reminders that God allows us love between a husband and wife, and they point us to the idea that we serve a God who wants to be intimately involved in our relationships, especially with our spouse. This morning, we're thanking God for His love and for the love that He allows for others and His example of love for us. As we move on, I'll share a verse that Marie shared with me this week. She says, my favorite Bible verse is Isaiah 26, 4. And she says, it reminds me that I can always and forever trust in God, even when it seems like He isn't there. He gives us everlasting strength and love. And I also wanted to add verse 3 along to that. It goes right along with it. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. And verse 4, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Himself, is the rock eternal. In the next verse, Mom wanted to share, so I'll let her share as well.
This verse is very special to me. It was given to me when you don't see this grandma when I was I used to be in my 20s. I was a fairly new Christian, and this is just a bit of my testimony to go along with it, explains why the verse is one of my favorites. Dave had been stationed in Thailand and had come home, and his last place of service for his fourth year was in Florida. We came home from Florida with a brand new baby boy. We came to the house that he had grown up in, not his whole life, but when he left for service. And that was, of course, Joshua. Joshua was a very colicky, fussy baby boy who grew into a very busy toddler. Later on, we added a new girl to this mixture, a baby girl. Dave was going to college full-time and working full-time. So you can imagine how much he was at home. For when Joshua was one is when we brought his little sister home. For 4 days, they are same age. That's how close they were. God in his wisdom gave us the girl that was calm and a sleeper. Nevertheless, I had a one-year-old and a new baby. For 4 days, they, like I said, they were the same age. I was tired. I was beyond tired. But fortunately, like I said, I was in my 20s. I accepted the Lord while we were in Florida, so I was pretty much a new Christian. I had been born and raised in a Catholic church. In the Catholic church, you didn't really have a personal relationship with the Lord. You had memorized verses, as you said, and you went to church every Sunday and on the holidays. But God answered my prayers, even though I wasn't in a personal relationship with him. When I was young, 9 years old, my family, my parents were divorced, and growing up was very difficult. God answered a lot of those prayers to help me through that time. Being a new Christian, I was reading the Bible and having a Bible study in our home, and the Catholic Church didn't have you read the Bible, so I didn't know very much about the Bible, so I was still learning. But that is when I received that verse. I was a very busy mom at that time, learning a lot in the Bible study. I had no idea, and I couldn't think of a way when we were in Florida to get out of going to a Bible study. I'd never heard of a Bible study. I couldn't think of a way to get out of it. And they even offered to come pick me up because Dave drove the only one car we had into the base for his work. They came and got me, took me to a Bible study, and that's how I learned about the Bible. When I read those verses in Indiana as a young mom and a new Christian with those little ones to care for, I knew God had given me something very special to hold on to. And that was many years ago. I remember them now, how special that day was to me. The Lord is so good to us, each and every one of us. He knows our needs, very personal way.
So that's Isaiah 40, 30 through 31. Wendy shared this verse with me, also from Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. From the verses shared in Isaiah, from Marie and Mom and from Wendy, these verses can remind us to be thankful to God this morning for his promises, his eternal nature, for promises of strength, and promises to be with us through our lives. If you would join me next for a responsive reading in Isaiah as well. And this is Isaiah, I don't have it on my notes actually, Isaiah 12, 1 through 5. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength.
With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted.
People.
This next verse is my verse that I have kind of called my favorite verse since I was probably 11 or 12. And I say I call it my favorite verse because who knows, there might come another verse that I kind of take on as, oh, well, that's the verse. So many good verses, it's hard to choose from one. But this is one that when I first heard it, when I was 11 or 12, I was in sixth grade, and I remember our class used to sing a song associated with Micah 6:8. And for some reason, it just stuck with me. It just really resounded with me, as some verses do. Each person in their own life have different verses that just really impact them. And this was one of those verses that just I keep coming back to. And he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And it's a verse that I think I can be especially grateful for, because God has given me a purpose and kind of a litmus test each day. Am I doing these things? Am I living justly? Am I living with mercy? And am I walking humbly with God? Some days the answer might be yes on some of those. Some day it might be no on some of those. Some days it might be yes on part of them, and I work on the other ones. But it's something that I know that it says, what does God require of you? And for me, those are the things that God requires of me. And to be checking myself constantly and asking him, am I doing these things? So that has always been my favorite verse. All right, moving from there to my dad's favorite verse that he shared with me this week is, let me keep going where I'm supposed to go, Luke 12:35-37. Be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. He says, on his mirror at home, he has that taped up on his mirror at home. He says, to remind him every day, to get up every day, get dressed, and be ready to serve God. He says, you never know what each day holds or what blessings will come. And just in case you need a reason to get out of bed in the morning, to get dressed. The verse continues, keep your lamp burning. Keep the fervor of the Lord. Don't let life squish you out. That's dad's word. Don't let life squish you out. Keep on keeping on. In verse 36, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them watching. When he comes, I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. So he says, not only does God give you motivation, tell you what to do, it'll be good for those servants who are ready, who are waiting for him. And he says he's really looking forward to that dinner invitation from the Lord. And this morning he's not here because he was dressed and ready for service. He's driving our neighbor to the airport. And so he kind of lives by that verse, being dressed, ready for service, ready to help others out, ready to serve God. So this morning, continuing that melody line that runs throughout all these verses, everything that we're sharing this morning, that melody line is thanking God for motivation and the reward for servants who are ready and watching. Donna yesterday shared Romans 8:28 with me, and we've been going through the book of Romans the past 5 or 6 weeks, and this verse is a good verse to share this morning. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I think of this verse especially when she says, when she's going through a difficult time, and she says she's reassured that everything will be okay. She's going back to God's word. God works for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So this morning, we're thanking God that he is for us. This next verse comes from 2 Corinthians, and Lindsay has been willing to share her verse and also what it means to her.
This verse is actually one of my favorites as well, so I like that one as well. It's actually on our refrigerator at home. That would be my second one, so it's funny that I'm following that one. But my favorite verse is actually 2 Corinthians 5:17. NIV says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here." Or King James Version says, "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This verse has been a favorite of mine since elementary school or thereabouts, although how it has shaped me has changed as I also have grown and changed. Many verses can mean different things to us in different seasons of life, and this is true for this verse for me as well. I can't remember exactly why this verse struck with me at an elementary child besides having the donut man sing this song. Which is kind of like how Joel liked his song. It just stuck with me. And I just liked it. But I'm sure I thought of something new was an exciting prospect. What child doesn't like something new? As I've grown physically and spiritually, I find the comfort from the verse has changed. I no longer cherish it so much for the catchy song, although that's very much in my head still, but for the promise it bears. I am made new and I have hope. Firstly, I am made a new creation as a believer in Jesus. As I have confessed that I am a sinner who needs a Savior, I have welcomed Jesus into my life and accepted his gift of salvation. He has ransomed his life for mine. I made this decision in 1994 at the age of 7 at Good News Camp in Waynesboro. I remember that day. I watched as the counselors each took aside their children in my group to talk one-on-one during quiet time. My name was finally called near the end of the week, and I eagerly went over to the counselor and waited for her to ask me if I wanted to ask Jesus into my heart. I had prayed with her and was excited to tell another counselor. It was pure joy. I no longer burdened by the weight of my sins because Jesus had carried away that burden. I didn't fully understand that transformation, but I knew that something was different. I was different. I was made a new creation. Secondly, I hold the promise closely as a daily reminder. Each day, as I repent for my sins, Jesus promises to forgive, to make me new. I don't need to carry the shame of my mistakes. God always promises redemption if we ask for it. The enemy is the one who heaps on the shame. Because I am a new creation, I have the Holy Spirit's power in me to make the choice for truth each day. I no longer need to live in the shadow of the what-ifs, the should-haves, or the could-haves. That is the enemy's work. That's his signature. Jesus, however, offers grace when we seek him, and by accepting that grace, letting him take that old, I can live in the freedom of newness each day. Through the Spirit's power, I have a choice to live in this light and not in the shadow of my past mistakes. As the King James says, "All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." God loves us too much and has paid too dear a price for us to be stuck in the past. I also like Isaiah 43:18-19. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I don't want to miss all God has planned for me because I'm looking back at my old self, at these former things. I want to live in the new self, a new creation living in the freedom of his unending grace and forgiveness, thanking God that we are his new creation."
Judy shared this with me this week, 2 Timothy 2, 11, through 13. She says, especially verse 13. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. She says, we live in a world that is hostile to God and his principles. These verses state that you can deny him, but he is still real and will remain true to his character. So through those verses, we're thanking God for being who he is, but also for his character and his faithfulness. Diane also shared the verse from Psalm earlier. She also shared Philippians 4:13, our next verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And also, the first verse that was shared with me right after the service last week was from Alex, who shared Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He wrote to me this week and he says, I chose this verse as my verse at my confirmation in my German church when he was 14. He says the reason at the time was because he knew it already. And the rule in Germany is you have to know it out of your mind to be able to say it. He says, I was a little bit lazy at the time and thought, take one that you already know. And he says a couple of years later, he started to end his prayers with it, with two things. And also, the way we're going to end our service, I thought that was a good ending for the other verses that he shared, the Lord's Prayer. So we'll end our service with that. But this is how he ends each of his prayers. And I think that's a good way to end our service this morning as well. He says, this verse added to the Lord's Prayer, he says it gives him the right words if his mind is empty and just don't know what to pray. We all know, we've all been in that position sometimes. We say, God, I don't know what to say sometimes. But he says, and after that, he closes his private conversation with the Lord with Philippians 4:7. He said, first, it was just a habit, but over time, it started to mean something to him, especially the verse from Philippians. He said it gives him confidence that the Lord is with him, even if he doesn't understand why things are the way they are, that the peace of the Lord calms him, calms down his mind and his heart. So this morning, I think we can thank God for telling us how to talk to him. How he wants us to converse with him. He gives us the Lord's Prayer and this verse. So each verse that was shared this week with me, I appreciate. And I appreciate, again, that melody line of thanksgiving to God for various attributes, various things that he gives to us. And each verse that was a testimony shared. So let's end the service this morning with those verses, the Lord's Prayer and Philippians 4:7. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and glory are yours, now and forever. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds. In Christ Jesus. Amen.